Amen. Want to welcome everybody this morning. Got any praisers in the house? God is good. Amen. Make sure you get a Sunday handout. Pastor's written an awesome article in there, and he's just going to be preaching a house down in a minute. Hallelujah. Our pastor gets to preach today. I'll lay this over here. You can get it when you. Amen. Well, I've got a prophetic word to share with you this morning. I was awake when I was awakened this morning between sometime before daylight. I was awakened with the words. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. Come on, somebody. And when I immediately really came awake then, because I knew it was the Holy Spirit talking to me, and I heard the word shift. And we hear a lot about that in our circle that we are in. And I was on the way to church this morning. I was asking the Lord exactly what he meant by shift, or exactly what shift meant. And I looked it up, and it means to reposition. It means to rearrange, to make a change, to go in a different direction. Amen. How many's got some things in your life that you need to be changed? You need to go in a different direction. You need to be rearranged. You need something to happen. Amen? Now, you got to make up for all those people you see in the seat that's not there. Anybody get that? Amen? So, during the missionaries' time in Philippi, Paul and Silas, you know, they were out there just doing what they felt like God needed them to do, and people were being saved, churches were being established, but guess what? Satan opposed their work. And Paul and Silas were arrested, beaten, put in prison for their preaching. Imagine that. And so while in prison, Paul and Silas sat with their feet in stocks, singing hymns. And that's the key, church. You actually may not be literally sitting in a cell with your feet literally in stocks. But sometimes when circumstances and issues of life, you feel like that. I had one of those days Friday. Amen. You literally feel like that. But God. Amen. And you had something else the Holy Spirit spoke to this morning and said, Shirley, you need to go from prayer to praise. Because a lot of times our prayer gets into trying to get God to do something when he says, I've already done it. Woo! And that's where you need to get into praise. And I'm not saying quit praying, but I'm saying check what you're saying when you do pray. Amen. So we need to go from prayer to praise and begin to prophetically decree some things in the atmosphere. Amen. So we talk about midnight. Anyway, while they were in prison, at midnight, an earthquake broke open. The prison doors setting the prisoners free. Now, when you think about the word midnight, it's the dead of night. Amen. Everything comes out after midnight. You know, my nephew walks to work every day, and I ask if he's doing okay with that. And he said, yeah, he said, all the bad guys are in the bed asleep time I go to work. Oh, that's a good point. Amen. The bad guys come out between midnight and daylight. That's when they do the dirty work. Amen. So midnight is the transition. The definition of midnight is a transition from one day to the next. So that's why the opposition is happening. That's why the devil doesn't like to give up the territory. That's where we have been in as this church in the midnight hour. Because we're being transitioned from one season to the next. And the devil says, I'm not going to let you get there. Because when you get there, some things are going to happen. That's not happened before. Amen? So in that midnight hour where you're at, and things are tough, and you feel like your feet are in stocks, and nothing are going the way you think it's going, and or should be going. And one thing, and I've shared this before, when you're driving and you get into a curve, you know why people wreck? Because they panic and try to get back on the road straight. And I've learned that in the things of life, when you're at that position, grab a hold of the steering wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Hey, hey, hey. Jesus, take the wheel and ride that curve out. Now, I don't know how long that curve's going to be, but if you'll grab the wheel, you and Jesus and the Holy Ghost is going to make it out of that curve without turning over. Amen? So that's what we need to do in life. is to ride that curve out. So we're at a time of transition, and we all have been going through that period of time in our individual lives, in our personal lives, in our family, in this church, and even in this nation. There's a warfare going on. Amen. If we're not careful, we'll allow it to get attached to us. And we've all been going through a time of shifting, and yes, a sifting. You, your family, this church, we're not all fighting the same battles. But there's one thing about it. We all have the same enemy. And that's why we can stand up and we can agree and say, this is what the Word says about the situation. Amen. So the devil doesn't want to give up any territory. But today, I have come to prophetically declare that he is losing. Because we already know in the end, we win. And that which he meant to destroy him is being turned around on him. Now, I don't say a whole lot about top politics from the pulpit, but what little bit of news I've been watching lately, there's two women in Congress that are going head-to-head with each other. And Trump stood up the other day and said, this one needs to keep her mouth shut because this one's been in office longer, even though them President Trump and that lady don't agree. But I began to think about that, and I thought, you know, that's just two Jezebel spirits fighting each other. And you know what's happening? They are turning on each other now. That party is literally turning on each other now. And that's what's happened to the devil. Woo! When you begin to stand your ground and you begin to tell the enemy enough is enough, you know what's going to happen? He's going to turn on himself. He is going to turn on himself. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When you say, listen, enough's enough, the devil's going to turn on himself and all of his little demons as he sent out to cause you to think crazy and do stuff. Amen. And let go of the wheel when you're in the curve. He is going to turn on himself. My goodness. And you know, this thing about the prophetic word, I want to tell you four things real quick. The prophetic word shifts things. The prophetic word changes seasons. The prophetic word brings life. And it also brings death to things that don't need to live. And it carries a beginning. And it also establishes an end. And that's why you need to begin to prophesy things into your life. That's why you need to begin to stand up in your house, go to the end of your property line or whatever it may take. Hey, come on, somebody, or at the end of your driveway or your mailbox or wherever. And you need to begin to stand up and prophetically declare some things for you and your household. Because some of you have slackened up. Some of you have slackened up. Come on, somebody. God wants you to begin to stand up and begin to prophetically decree some things into your household because you have that authority. He's given you that authority. You're seated at the right hand of Jesus. So you can stand up and begin to prophetically decree some things. And this is what God says about it in Nahum 1:9. What do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not arise. So today, for that one that will receive this word, I feel, you can stand this morning, I feel a fight coming back into your spirit. Woo! I feel a fight coming back into your spirit. There's a Holy Ghost rebellion rising up in you, a holy indignation, a righteous anger rising up against you and the enemy. Instead of the devil pushing you around, you are now the one that's going to be pushing him around. There's a holy fight coming back into your spirit. Amen. And we need to stand up and decree that and draw that line, as we used to say. Draw that bloodline and say, enough's enough. Holy Spirit, we welcome you into this place today. We thank you that we are creating an atmosphere for your presence. Because we didn't come to play games. We have come to see your kingdom happen in this earth as it is in heaven. And we are your kingdom carriers. We are your gloria carriers in this earth. And we come into agreement with you and your word that the church is established and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. And I hear the Lord said, upon this rock I have built my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he says for us today to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord that he's going to show you. For the Egyptians, which you have seen today, you'll see them again no more. In other words, God is saying, why don't you just stand over there? Continue to praise me and watch me work. And while you are praising me, I'll take care of business. Go ahead and praise him, for God says he will take you from here. So we need to go from prayer to praise this morning. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing up. Thank you, Holy Ghost, for showing up and doing what all of you can do. There's a fight coming back in us, Lord, a holy indignation, a righteous cry from Zion that says, here we are, Lord, and we will not be denied. And we know that you're not going to pass us by, that you have heard our prayer, and now you're hearing our praise. In Jesus' name, and the church said amen and amen.
Hallelujah. We praise you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. And I just want to say right off the bat, I thank God for being with those that are on vacation, that are traveling, giving them mercies and protecting them. I pray for our friends in Louisiana, down in that area, Father God, for your protection and the restoration of their homes and their electricity and all those things. Lord, we love you today. We're going to lift you up. We're going to praise you and magnify your name. Remember this one? Well, lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. You gotta let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Come on and lift him up. You know what, little JP came in this morning, and I'm going to share a little something about it. As he looked at his grandma and he said, you know, I got a song we need to sing today. He said, let's sing about Jesus. And I'm going, what other name are you going to lift up? Amen. Well, lift up the name of Jesus. Shout it everywhere you go. Lift up the name of Jesus. You got to let the whole world know. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up. Well, deaf ears will be open, blinded eyes will see, chains will be broken, we'll have victory. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up. You gotta lift him up. Lift him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up. Let's declare about the deaf and the blind. Well, deaf ears will be open, blinded eyes will see, chains will be broken, we'll have victory. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up. You gotta lift him up. Lift him up. If I be lifted up, I'll draw men to me. Come on and lift him up. Lift him up.
Hallelujah. Well, lift him up, church. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're not in a prison cell today. You know, the churches, you know, the Christians in China and around the world, but in China, they're memorizing scripture. You know why? Because they're coming in and they're burning their churches and they're destroying their Bibles. But you know, you can't steal the Word of God. It's in there, isn't it? And he performs his Word. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Water you turned into wine, Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. None like you. Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer, awesome in power. Our God, our God.
Sing that again now.
Our God is greater, our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power, our God, our God.
Well, we praise you, Lord. Thank you for your mighty power. All right.
And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? Then what can stand against? Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. Awesome in power. Our God. Our God.
Our God.
Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. God, you are higher than any other. Our God is healer. He's awesome in power. Our God. Our God.
And since our God.
And since our God is for us, then who could ever stop us?
Come on.
And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? And if our God is for us, then who could ever stop us? And if our God is with us, then what can stand against? What can stand against?
Oh, hallelujah, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We magnify you, Father God. We lift up your name, Father. It's not that this nation's great. It's not that this church is great. It's that you are great. You're the great one, Father. And we just thank you that for the splendor, hallelujah, for your birth, for your death, for your resurrection. As we magnify you, Lord, today, oh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. As we worship him, I tell you what, let's do while we're getting ready to continue our worship. You may sit down while we take up our offering. If our people to bring, take our offering up this morning. I thank God right now in the name of Jesus for his provision. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the one that provides. And I thank him for providing for you today. And I know I could hand the mic and just go around and you could give testimony after testimony of God's provision. Why? Because he's faithful. He's the one that we trust, and he's the one that's going to bless you where you need to be blessed. Some people need to be healed. Some people need relationships restored. There are other needs. Some people might need a house to sell. I don't know. You know, there's different things. But God says, you watch me be faithful to you, and I will be faithful to you. Thank you, Father. It's done in Jesus' name. Thank you, guys. The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide, and trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. Come on now. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great, how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead, the Godhead three in one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God.
Come on now.
Sing with me, how great our God, and all will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names, come on now, and you're worthy of all our praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God. Now let's sing, how great he is, church. You ready? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. You're the name above all names. You believe that, church? And you're worthy of all our praise. My heart will sing how great is our God. Would you stand with me as we declare today? How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Do it, sing it again, come on now. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, that you're so great and you're mighty and you're awesome. Great and mighty is he. Amen. Lord, we lift you up and we praise you and we magnify you. I want to share a scripture. We're going to, well, it's a new song to us. I don't know if it's a new song to you or not. I don't know how long it's been around, but it came into my life at a time just when I needed it. But I wanted to read a scripture to you, and it's from Ephesians, and you've all know of this, but let me read this to you, and then I want to share a little situation that I experienced that I had to get some answers from God. But it's in Ephesians 4, and y'all are familiar with Ephesians 4, I believe you are, but in Ephesians it lifts the, when God did it, sent Jesus and he did his work on the cross, then he established the church. And to keep the church and to help the church be what we needed to be, you know, he just put buildings together. He said, you know, you need to come together. See, you're individually the church. This building is not the church. But we got to meet somewhere. And in the New Testament, they met in homes. They met everywhere, you know. The Old Testament, sometime they met down by the river. There's nothing wrong with meeting down by the river. But we happen to have a building called New Life for the Nation. But you're individually the church of God. And God decided, and the New Testament church decided, in order for us to learn and to hear and to be what we needed to be, he put certain gifts in the church. And Ephesians 4 says this, and his gifts were varied, and he himself, talking about Jesus, appointed and gave to us some to be apostles. Now, what are apostles? Apostles are people that establish churches. I know some missionaries are apostles. Not all missionaries are apostles. All missionaries don't establish churches. They go and teach and help churches. But an apostle, now Pastor Jerry was an apostle here. He started this church. But as far as having a ministry of an apostle, he really doesn't, because he's not started a church anywhere else. But you see, God has apostles planted to go and start churches, and then to be a father kind of head to them, to help them move in the right direction. And then what's the next gift? He appointed some prophets. Everybody ought to have somebody that's moving in the prophetic spirit to keep us in tune with what the Spirit of God is saying to us and saying to the nation. So we have the prophetic here. And then he said, what else? He said, and then some are preachers and expounders. Prophets are also preachers and expounders. And some evangelists. We have people that come in and their job is to go around and stir you up. They go to different churches. That's their calling. And they minister salvation and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And miracles need to take place while they're under their ministries. And we have evangelists that come and minister to us. And then the last gift that he set in the church, and some, no, the fourth one, some pastors. You may have too many pastors here, I don't know. But you're blessed. A pastor is somebody that, you know what, this is my church. I'm kind of the father of this place, and I want to make sure I'm the shepherd of this place. God sent me here to help shepherd these sheep. And then the last one is a teacher. Some people are just good Bible teachers. Now, I don't know where I fit. I just kind of get up here and tell you what's on my mind. But see, I say this to say this. It goes on to say, his intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, that they should do what? That they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body. Everywhere you go, you're touching somebody. And I may get emotional, but I had somebody say something to me that bothered me. And I had to stew on it for a while. Because, see, sometimes you have a tendency to want to believe everything everybody tells you. And you got to make sure that what they told you was right. I had somebody say, well, your church is just a social church. What are you doing to reach the world? How many outreach ministries does your church have? I didn't say nothing. I know better than to say something. If you're not going to say what the word says, don't say nothing. And when you don't know exactly where you're going, keep your mouth shut. I've learned that. But I stewed on it. I said, God, that hurt. For somebody to say that our church was a social club. And then I heard this song. And the Lord says, everybody in that church is touching the world somewhere. You are an outreach ministry. Do we have 25 ministries going? Do we have a food pantry? No. But there's three or four in the church, in the city. God never called us to have a food pantry. We don't have a clothing store here. But I tell you what, God spoke to me and he said, every one of us is an outreach ministry. And you know what? God spoke to me and he said, this church is not a social church. It's not a club where we come in and just fellowship. You're challenged every time you come in here with the word of God and with the prophetic word of God to listen to him. And to go out and do what? The work of the ministry. As a Christian, as a born-again believer. And then I heard this song. I knew I'd cry, so I would say I'm sorry, but I'm not. Because pastors and ministers get a lot of difficult things said to them. Especially when people don't know our hearts. How many times did you get a phone call from somebody that's not a part, that somebody that you knew said, I need you all to pray about this? What are you doing when you do that? You're an outreach. You're a life that's been touched by God. And because of that, you love him. And everywhere you go, it's like, you know, people come up and they say, well, you know, I know y'all believe in prayer. You know we do what? We believe in prayer. I know miracles happen. Well, I found this song. I sent it to Kim. I said, Kim, we got to do this. In the name of this song, if we can get through it, it's called This Is a Move. There's a move of God going on in this place and in your life. People are getting saved just because you come in contact with them. Why? Because you just love the Lord. Would I like to have a big dynamic outreach to where we go and knock on doors? Anybody want to do it? Just come on and we'll get behind and pray for you. That's what God calls you to do. I want us to start this song, and I want you to listen because I'll probably stop and go back and do this verse again. But I want you to think, who are we? Who are we?
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see that wonders are still what you do.
Do you still believe that? Haven't you seen mountains moved recently? Let's do the next one. You ready? Listen to this next verse.
Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe, yes, we can see it, that wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need to move. We need to move. We need to move. We need to move.
Do that first verse again. Sing it with us, church.
Mountains are still being moved. Strongholds are still being loosed. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. Bodies are still being raised. Giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need to move. We need to move. We need to move. We need to move. Bodies are still being raised. And giants are still being slain. God, we believe. Yes, we can see it. That wonders are still what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. Set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do, 'cause we need to move. We need to move.
Do that again, church. Come on.
We need to move. We need to move.
Miracles, you ready?
Miracles happen. When you move, healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. Miracles happen when you move. Healing is coming in this room. Miracles happen when you move. Heaven is coming. This is a move.
Come on.
This is a move. 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 This is a move.
We are here. Come on.
We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We are here for you. Come and do what you do. We set our hearts on you. Come and do what you do. 'Cause we need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Do that again.
We need a move. We need a move.
This is a move. You ready?
This is a move. This is a move.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I just pray that you experience the move of God this morning in your life.
Oh, my God.
Restoring, renewing,
amen.
Rededicating. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord God. Whatever you want to do, Father God. It's always been our prayer. Father, through the years, the 40-some years, and for various and sundry reasons, we've seen people come in excited, and then we've seen people go. Some have moved, other situations. But Father God, through it all, we lift you up. And we thank you for this people that's been faithful. And I know you're not done, Father God. There are people out there just needing a nudge to remind them how much you love them. We need a move.
We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move. We need a move.
Jesus. Oh, we love you, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the fivefold ministry, Lord, that you've allowed us to experience and that's in this place and that moves in this place. Father God, that we'll hear you. Thank you, Father God, that when we leave today after Pastor Jerry's message and after Children's Church, that we'll go out of here with the idea of, all right, God, where are we going this week? Who am I touching? Who am I calling? Or where am I going just to be me? Help me be your outreach this week to somebody that's looking for hope, that's looking for love. Thank you, Father God. Hallelujah. We praise you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, church. Thank you. Like I said, I'm not going to apologize for the emotions. But I am going to, we have children's church today. Miss Sherry is going to take over Miss Denise's class. And we'll go back and we're going to let Pastor Bishop Reverend, I say Doctor, Reverend, Bishop, Pastor Jerry. Pastor Jerry, huh? Yeah, we're colonels too, okay. We're going to let him minister today, amen? We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.
One, two, three. Get this thing placed just right. So I get plenty of sound, but not the puffing of the breath. Before I minister this morning, if you've got a prayer request, I want you to stand up. If there's something in your life, something in your acquaintance, something in your realm of influence that needs prayer, I want you to stand up. Now, if you're close to somebody that's standing up, either lay your hand on their shoulder or just hold their hand. And you that did that, look at them right now and say, I'm agreeing with you. Now, because I have enough confidence to believe that if you stood up for prayer, that you're standing up for a legitimate reason. You know what we pray for. But you know that we don't pray for such things as, Lord, I don't like my neighbor getting moved. If you're having a problem with your neighbor, the issue or the answer to that is not moving. The answer is everybody getting their heart right. In family situations, we've got conflicts and things happen. We've all got to search our hearts and make sure that we can justify what we feel like we have been a part of. While you're standing, just let the Lord know what it is you're asking for prayer. As Lord God, we come into your presence. We stand before you this morning, Lord God, with open hearts, with open hands, to receive from you, to see you make a move in the situations, Lord God, that are present. That your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And that you, Lord God, are the changer of men's hearts. That you take out the stony heart and you put in a heart of flesh. You put in a heart that beats and in harmony with you. When you give us a new heart, therefore if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things have become new. And we thank you for that this morning. I thank you, Lord God, for the power of agreement. You said in your word, if two agree is touching anything, I will do it for them. You want to do for us, Lord God, more than sometimes we expect from you. We don't ask you because we've had a seed planted in us that says we're not worthy to receive it anyway, so why ask? But you said, ask and you receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. So, Lord God, we come before you this morning with all of these requests, and we go beyond that. We pray for our nation. We pray for those that are in leadership, Lord God. And we know that in this country and in the world, but, Lord God, what part do we play in it? Where do we fit in? What are we supposed to do? And we find that out, Lord God, by seeking your face, by asking of you, Lord, what should I do in this situation? How should I handle this? How should I vote? What should I support? I want to know what you have to say about it, God. And we want to do it your way, God. So we stand before you this morning, Lord God, and we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We pray for our brothers and sisters that are in countries where if they are caught meeting together to worship you, they can even forfeit their own lives. Or they can go to prison. Or they can have all of their stuff confiscated. Lose their possessions. And many of them, Lord God, willing to do it because they love you so much that they want to come together and to worship you and to love you and to receive from you. Lord God, open our eyes as Christians. That we, Lord God, can understand the part that we play in society. That we'll understand that we are the light. We are the salt that gives flavor, that gives light, that helps a world that's wandering aimlessly. And we have the answer for them. But Lord God, help us to realize that we can't give them the answer by shoving it down their throat. That we have to do like you did. The people, Lord God, that came to you, the people that accepted you, did so because they knew you loved them. And you wanted to do for them. And the religious people, they shunned you because you didn't do it their way. But Lord God, help us not to be that way. We're not religious people. We're children of God. And we're human. But we also have the divine image that's been resurrected in us through Jesus Christ. Now bless each one, Lord God. Let sickness go where sickness was the issue. Let hurt feelings be gone. Let relationships be restored and all that is necessary, Lord God. You are God, and we look to you as that. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord God, for inspiring us this morning, stirring us up, making us ready for the move. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now turn to the person you're standing with and say, it's done. It's done. I have a message that I want to share this morning. You know, when you try to keep track of what's going on in the world, you try to make it so that you think you at least fit in. What you pretty soon find is the world is going the opposite direction from the way you want to go. And you know, we were singing earlier in the song about how great our God is. And you know, there's not too many of us that believe that anymore. People that believe that God is a mighty God and that he loves them and all of the things that we preach, they're a minority in the world. I said last Sunday morning that 35% of the people in this country have no religious affiliation. That's one out of every three people. And some of the ones that do have a religious affiliation, have some kind of religious affiliation that doesn't center around Christ. But I want to share what I want to share, and I'm going to start. Now I've got several scriptures. I want to start in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you know, I know enough about history. I was a history major when they were teaching real history. And I know enough about history to know that there have been times in history when things, certain things that we think are unique to this age here in this society, that have happened all through scripture. You know, the issues that we have to face, that we have to make a choice, is what does God say about it? Not what does this political party say, or what does this other political party say, or what does the independents have to say. Our concern is, what does God have to say? And these first few scriptures just are going to kind of set the stage for the main message. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, But this know that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Now, he's not just talking about people out in the world. He's talking about people that have a form of godliness. There's a little bit of God in there somewhere if you can dig it out. Perilous. And I just want to emphasize some of these things. Perilous is from a Greek word that means harsh, savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with. Now, if you run across any of that in society and in the people that you have to deal with and the situations you know about, particularly if you listen to the media and particularly if you listen to social media. Did you know the difference in things in the world today is that back in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, they didn't have internet. They didn't have Twitter or Facebook, or Instagram, or newspapers, or TV program, or cable news networks. But now, something can happen on the exact opposite side of the world, and you can find out about it in less than 5 minutes. We know everything that's going on. And people that do all the posting on the social media make sure we know it. You can't keep anything a secret. The word describes a society that is barren of virtue, but abounding with vices. Describes a society that is barren of virtue but abounding with vices. Now, we look, for instance, that we've got to the point now where somebody, a doctor or a mother, I don't know, maybe even a committee, but somebody can look at a little child that's just been born and decide whether or not they're going to let it live. Now, if they didn't let it live back when I was a boy, they were murderers. Now they do it because, well, after all, you know, women have a choice. What choice did that little baby have? But you know, that's not a problem that's unique to us, because in the days of the Roman Empire, when people had babies that they didn't want, or babies that when they were born they realized there was something physically or some kind of flaw in them, they would take those babies out into the woods and leave them out there until the wild animals came and took care of the situation. Supposedly, there's a story, Romulus and Remus, you remember who they are? And they're not the planet and people in Star Trek. They were supposedly the two brothers that founded Rome. And they were left by their parents out in the wilderness for the animals to take care of. But some mother wolf, I guess it was, found them and raised them as her own little wolves. But see, it's the same principle, different situation. You're killing the babies. You know, God didn't look too highly with favor upon Sodom and Gomorrah. And you know, I don't think he's changed. Now, he's not going to do what he did to Sodom and Gomorrah, because we're under the grace of God. God made a provision for everybody to be freed from anything that's holding them down, but we've got to make the choice to do it. But we're in perilous times. Now you back up a couple of pages to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit. Now what Spirit are we talking about? It's capitalized. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the third person of the Trinity. We're talking about whom Jesus said he was going to send when he went back to heaven. And he will be with you, and he will dwell in you. So now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith. Depart from the faith. What he's talking about is the faith that Jesus died to bring to pass, and the faith that was preached by the original apostles, and that is, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That salvation is through Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets unto the Father except through me. Well, depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. These are people within the body, within the faith. They're within the church, but they're not teaching what the church was originally teaching. Yet they're part of the church, or they've started a new group that's based upon the real truth of the scriptures, like down in Waco, Texas. Or like Jim Jones. I forgot the other guy's name. It's in the news here recently. Can't think of his name. But they're setting up their own form of gospel, rather than staying with the Word of God. Now, the next scripture. What does it say? Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, you're either running with God and Jesus Christ, or you're running with demons and doctrines of demons. There ain't anything else in the middle. You cannot say, well, I'm not going to live for Jesus, but I'm not going to live for the devil either. Are you going to do one or the other? First John. Chapter 4. Verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. You know, some people just have a charismatic personality, but the spirit behind it may stink. But because they have that person, that charismatic personality, they're able to draw people to them. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. In my article in the bulletin this morning, I put in there the scripture where Paul told Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. Now you got to understand that our fight is not Christians against sinners. The fight is Jesus Christ against the Antichrist. We have all just fallen into one side or the other. We chose to be in one side or the other. You know, those of us who were raised in church, those of us that have had all this around us from the time we were little, we had a lot better chance of making the right choice. But out here in the world today, like I put in the bulletin too in the article, read a poll where it said very few people ever consult their spiritual leader or clergy about anything. They just make up their own mind. And there's a lot of people that have made up their own mind about things in the world, and then they have gone to the scriptures and read them in light of what they want to believe, and then make the scripture agree with them. It's called scripture twisting. And there's a lot of it that goes on. Now, I've got one more scripture before I get into my message. And that's in Matthew chapter 24. I'm just calling your attention to the fact that this is the kind of age we're living in. The scripture that I've read about trying the spirits, about the deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, that what we're dealing with in the world, in our own country. You know, are we responsible for the world? Are we responsible for our country? Are we responsible for our church? Are we responsible for ourselves? The first thing is that we're responsible for ourselves. I can't help what the country does. All I can do is speak my influence that I have, whatever it is, and vote the way I feel is the most godly way. I've given up voting political parties because they've all got their agendas in Washington, and most of them are not to represent us. They are to represent what they want and make it the way they want it, And the rest of us deplorables that don't know anything about anything need to shut up and listen to what they're saying and do it their way because we don't know what's right anyway. That's the way they look at us. They don't think we've got an ounce of sense. We're not smart enough to govern our own lives. We need somebody telling us what to do. Freedom. The government telling you everything to do is not freedom. Matthew chapter 24. Verse 9. Then they will deliver you to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended. Many will be offended. We'll betray one another and we'll hate one another. Then many false prophets, there's the thing again, many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. The further we go along in this, the smaller we find the group hanging around us. Somebody even showed me an article. Somebody said in a message they were preaching that the closer you get to the cross, the fewer people there are around you. And Jesus, you know, started out with 12 apostles. He started out with 70 disciples that he sent out and said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, now go, you know, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. And he sent them out. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 3. And then when it came down to the day of his crucifixion, he had one left. That was John. But I'll tell you what, you will find yourself in the minority in most public venues if you sold yourself out to Jesus Christ. Now, to get into my message, go with me to the book of Jude. And the book of Jude is the last book before Revelation. And one chapter with 25 verses. I'm going to read it all, but I'm going to read quick before I start saying anything about it, except for one spot. I'm going to start with verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The faith that was delivered to the saints was done once for all, and the faith of the writing of this scripture in the first century. God hasn't changed his mind. He gave it once for all. It's just as true today as it was then. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God, into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn the grace of our God into lewdness, or King James says lasciviousness. Some translations may say sinfulness. what it really is saying is, and Paul had to deal with it too, shall we sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. That was Paul's address of it in two or three different places. Shall we sin so God's grace can cover it? No, we're not called to sin. Grace doesn't give us a license to sin. Grace gives us a power to overcome sin in our lives. Grace is not just a judicial decision. Grace is a power given to those who believe that will change their way of wanting to. I want to serve God. I don't have to get up every morning and check my checklist to see if I have done something that would disqualify the operation of the blood over my life. If you have to get saved again every time you commit a sin, the blood sure is not very powerful. But a lot of us that grew up in the church grew up with that. Lord, if I've done anything today to keep me out of heaven, I ask you to forgive me. I don't remember what it could have been, but if it's there, I ask you to forgive me. Now, what kind of a prayer? That prayer is for your benefit. That makes you feel better. But you're going to have to just do it again tomorrow. Just like the children in the Old Testament, just like the Israelites, they offered the sacrifices, but they had to do it again. And then they had to do it again, and they had to do it again. And the Bible says that once for all, Jesus offered his blood, sat down by the right hand of God, and said, it's finished. It's done. Now, I want to remind you, though, you once knew this, and the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their own abode, he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for judgment of the great day. So Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them is a similar matter to the east, having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh. Now, if you don't know what that means flesh is not human. The technical term is bestiality. Set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know and whatever they know naturally, like brute animals, like brute beasts. In these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the wind, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. But now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them and all the ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He's just not talking about people out here in the world. He's talking about people that are in a church and doing all this stuff. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which are spoken before by the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ into eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And listen, I love this last two verses. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. Now all of these people he's talking about, and these are the things that we have to watch out for, because it's so easy to get away from the main purpose of the gospel into these things. And I'm going through them real quick. Don't you can recognize the marks of false teaching. Rebuke and reject any teacher who, now listen to these things. Number one, teaches things one cannot apply. Mystery religion. Not everyday practical thing. Who practices lascivious behavior. In other words, they just live the way they want to and preach the gospel. Teach the gospel. I know some pastors that I have had the misfortune of meeting. They had a great audience, and their girlfriend met them at the airport in every city they went to. I didn't say their wife. I said their girlfriend. And then they got up and preached Holy Ghost baptism and healing and everything like that. Number three, speaks disrespectfully of authority. Well, I don't have to pay any attention to them. I'll just do what I want to. I've met some like that too. Number four, rejects established authority. Rejects established authority. Number five is more worried about money than the welfare of those to whom he ministers. I know it takes money to run a TV ministry, but what are you really getting if all the TV ministry does is tell you about their money and how much they need their money and for you to send them money? If you'll send this money, we'll send you something that'll bless you. So some of them get something, gets a testimony. I sent $1,000 and God blessed me with a $150,000 home just given to me. Well, that may happen. I'm not saying it doesn't. But to set that up in the people and use that as a means of meeting your financial needs. And one thing my dad told me years ago, he said, you'll never accumulate anything. And I looked at him, he said, because you just give everything you have away. And we've given our lives away to this church. I mean, we've got a 35-year-old manufactured home that we managed to live in. And I'm happy. And I'm not preaching against prosperity, but you gotta make sure. Number six, promises things that he cannot and does not produce. And we've got a political party that is promising everybody the world, and I don't know how they're gonna give it to them. That all the illegal aliens have a right to Medicare. When the citizens don't have a right to it, unless you're poor or past 65. But they're going to give everybody Medicare, and they're going to pay for it out of tax money. Who's going to have the jobs? The government's going to own everything. Government-owned stuff doesn't work, never worked, and will never work. That's not freedom. You know what it'll work for? It'll work to give a little bit, 10% of the people, a whole lot of money, the ones just sitting up on the hill, but to us people down in the valley, we all be equal. We'll all have nothing. That's why people are fleeing Venezuela, because socialism down there took a major prosperous nation with great oil supplies and turned it into a city dump, promising things he cannot and does not produce. Number seven, constantly changing his message, always teaching something new. Well, God gave me a new revelation. Well, it better include Jesus. And not just in name, but it better include the principles that Jesus lived by and the principles that Jesus taught. Number eight, shows no enduring fruit. Flash in the pan. We've all heard that expression. Number nine, complains and criticizes others. Well, if I was just this, or if I was just that, or number 10 is motivated by personal gain. That's what Book of Jude, this is what it had to say about all of this in one page. Is motivated by personal gain. Number 11 is a self-promoter. I've met a few of them. I had one come here one time and never came back. All I heard from how he got here was, I did this, I did that, I did this, I did this, I did that. And they just make you want to say, did Jesus go with you any place you did all this? I thought he was the one. I thought it was the Spirit that worked through us. Not us. And if we take the glory, if we get eye problems, we're going to run afoul. Number 12, flatters others when it is to his advantage. Say nice things. What are we going to do? We're going to stay firm to this scripture. Firm to this Bible. You test the spirits by seeing about all those things that I just read. That's how you test the spirits. Is this going to promote Jesus? And in getting ready for this, and Sister Shirley was talking about it this morning, about prophecy. It's easy to give somebody a word. It's easy to tell them something good. It's not so easy to tell them something bad, but sometimes God says, tell so-and-so they need to straighten this. But I'll tell you one thing. I found out from experience, if God tells you to speak to somebody about something they're doing, when you get there and when you do it, you find out real quick that God already been there with them. And all you were doing was confirming something God was already telling them. if you go and rebuke somebody and it's completely out of the blue and they look at you like, I don't even know what you're talking about. And you've got to decide, are they just deliberately avoiding this, or was that just what I thought rather than the Word of God? But here's the key. Prophecy in any form or fashion will always contain Jesus. If you get a word of prophecy that you can't fit into the character of Jesus, you need to look at it suspiciously. And maybe it's just that you can't make the connection, or maybe the connection is just not there. But Jesus is the center of the preaching. Jesus is the center of the prophesying. Jesus is the center of our witnessing. Has to be that way. Has to be that way. We're not here this morning because this is the end place. As far as in the community. We're here this morning because we want to hear what God has to say. And we live in a world that is rapidly moving in the opposite direction of what God has to say. And we need to know. It's not our responsibility, like that Baptist church in Kansas that goes to these places and just literally disrupts. They're not making any kind of positive, not having any kind of positive effect. They're just displaying their disgust. You cannot display your disgust to the world and say that you love them. You don't love them, you're just disgusted with them. See, Jesus didn't come down here to die because God was disgusted by the way we live. The Bible says Jesus came and died because God loves the world. There's a battle going on between Christ and Antichrist. And we have a little space to occupy. Each one of us. Don't give up and don't feel like you have to do something to change something on the other side of the world because you saw it on Facebook. It's always been like that. Except we have a communication capability now that we have never had before. I told Laverne the other day, social media, the internet, was a boon to mankind, I guess, the way we looked at it. But it's gone beyond being a boon to mankind. It's turned into a communication monster. The only thing that they can't do now is read your thoughts when you're at home. But even at home, you can say some things and you say it under the right, in front of the right piece of equipment, and somebody can know you said it. We are not becoming more free. If we don't watch, we're going to be enslaved again. And the ruling class, we're going to be like the Soviet Union was back when it was strong, you know, when it was a world power like the United States. Right after World War II, when Khrushchev beat on the podium with his shoe in the United Nations meeting. You know how they were that way? 10% of the population of Soviet Union. 10% were communists. They control everything. The other 90% had no say in anything. They worked where the government told them to work. They did what the government told them to do. They acted the way the government told them to act. And they had to go to the markets at certain days and stand in line just to get meat. But in a capitalistic society, and I use that word because I don't know any other way to describe it, an open society, a free society, you ought to look in the grocery stores and it ought to amaze you at how many radishes somebody somewhere is growing. How many cows died yesterday so you could have steak or hamburger or roast? How many chickens died today so that everybody can get the chicken that they're going to eat today? How many chickens do you think is going to be eaten in the United States today? Just today. We never have to say, well, I can't go to the grocery store today and get any groceries because they don't have any. But they face that all the time, even in the Soviet Union. And the people in North Korea now, they got nothing. If you're not in the army in North Korea, you got nothing. And if you're in the army, you got to do what they tell you to do, whether you believe in it or not. The world is in a bad mess, and it all comes about because people have a controlling spirit that originated from Satan when he decided to rebel against God. Church, keep your eyes open. It's dangerous out there. But don't walk in fear. Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Show the love of God to the world. But don't get caught up in sharing beliefs. Especially if you can go to this book and say directly, the Bible says, don't do that. There's nowhere in Scripture that condones two people of the same biological sex getting married. But if you don't watch, put yourself in a spot where, well, political correctness involved. And you find yourself in a pickle. If I get in a pickle, it's going to be because I'm in, the reason it's going to be because I'm in that pickle is because I stood on this word and somebody didn't like it. That's what we've got to do as children of God, as citizens of the kingdom. Kingdom principles in our lives are more important than political correctness. Let's stand. Thank you, Jesus. Now that I've got this off my heart, next week Sister Shirley will be back and we'll be out of here by 11. You know, some old dogs just know the same tricks. But be watchful. And be faithful. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing your word is the truth. Your word was made flesh in Jesus Christ and dwelt among us. The worlds were formed by the word of God. We choose to believe this. We choose to believe it. That's called faith. Fight the good fight of faith. And sometimes, Lord, fighting the fight of faith is just simply making sure that we keep believing the right thing. And I pray, Lord God, for strength for everyone in here this morning as we leave, as we go out here in the world, that we will not go out, Lord God, and treat them as disgusting people, but that we will go out, Lord God, and let the light of your presence shine out of us, to be salt, but not over-salting, but being just that right amount of salt that causes them to think and causes them to respond in the right way. Our hope is in you. We confess that hope. We confirm that hope. We declare that hope. And we're going to stand on it forever. And I thank you, Lord God, for giving each one of them the braveness of your spirit to let it rise up within them, meet the challenge that they face in the world. Help us, Lord God, to make our lives solidly built upon the Word of God, the foundation of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise and thanks and glory for it. In Jesus' name, forevermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you.